This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, baseball is back. Your San Diego Padres are in second place. And looking up at the Los Angeles Dodgers of Japan, who have just defeated the Chicago Cubs 4-1 in the opening game of the regular season. And we need the Cubs to lose games. Fine by me, you know. Craig Counsell trying to get cute again, takes your pitcher out with a no-hitter and dealing, and says, no, let's go to the bullpen. I mean, it's baseball. I have a few beefs with my beloved game of baseball today, and I think you're going to hear them. Welcome into Ben and Woods 97.3, The Fan. Yeah, man.
Is this not the Dodgers post-game show?
It's not.
Will we not be hearing from Ben Kasparius in a couple of minutes?
No,
what's going on here?
No Tanner Scott this morning. But, Dodgers did what everybody expected them to do and went out and beat the Cubs this morning in the first game of the season. They'll play one more game, then they'll be about a week off, essentially, and then we'll get back to all 30 teams playing next Thursday. It did give me the little jolt this morning when I woke up, and I did not get up right at game time. I woke up in like the third inning, and so watched most of it, listened to it on the drive in, and then we just finished it here in the studio. But look, it's so good to be back. It's so good to have baseball back. It gave me the tingles this morning, even if it was watching the Dodgers win. So anyway, Edgar says it's the first game. He walked a couple. Good move. Stop it, Woods. All right, whatever. I mean, obviously it didn't work. It's four innings. This is where baseball is these days. Hey man, give me four innings in on your opening day start. I know you walked a couple guys, but you're done after that. I think if you're 65 pitches, something like that. I don't know. Your number one starter, game one, let the guy throw. He's in his home country. Just let him throw. What are you doing?
It's also only March 18th.
It's true.
So I mean, I can sort of see not being built up fully for the season when
whatever.
You have to start a week and a half early.
Didn't our guys go like three innings last year?
Yeah, I think they were. Well, I mean, they were ineffective, I think.
Yeah, ineffective three innings. So, listen, this is where baseball is, and I'm telling you, we have a huge, huge problem in the game of baseball. Huge. And it doesn't start at the big league level. I'll tell you all about that in a second. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindel's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, Woodsy. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. I was very excited yesterday. I had the rain has just murdered our little league season. It's just killed it. Crushed it. Moving games around. Played yesterday at 4 o'clock. So we get out to the field, and I got like 11 kids, 12 kids yesterday, and we were playing another team. Now, I looked across the field, and I went, oh, all right. I mean, I got big kids. They're all roughly the same age, right? You're talking the oldest kid on my team is in first grade, right? They have first graders, kindergartners, and we roll. And you could look across the field and go, eesh, okay, there's a little size disparity. I got some big kind of lumbering dudes on my team, and we're pretty good. You know, we can catch the ball. We can throw the ball. So I said, all right, well, let's see how this goes. We have a, there's just a huge problem right now in Little League. I tweeted about it last night. I said, you know, here we are at the highest level of baseball, Major League Baseball. And these guys sit in a room and they go, it's too long. This is too long. These games are 2 hours and 10 minutes. We got to shorten these games. We're losing people's attention. So go down to Little League where this is where kids are supposed to run onto the field and go, I love this. I'm all in. This is fantastic. Because think about it. My kids play football, they play basketball, they play soccer. They're moving all the time. I mean, it is very little stagnant standing around playing with sunflowers. Very little, if any, really. I mean, honestly, unless you're subbed out of one of those games, you're moving. So it hit me like a ton of bricks last night. So the other team, man, they're little kids, dude. They're tiny little kids. They weren't quite ready for machine pitch. So do some math. You're good at math, Ben.
Sure.
Nine kids in their lineup.
Nine kids.
Call it seven swings apiece.
Okay.
And then on the eighth swing, they get to hit off a tee.
Okay.
Okay, so I said to the coach before, let's do, if we get three outs, we'll come off and then, you know, let's try to like play base. We won't keep score, obviously. We're not going to be swiping bags or anything like that. But we get three outs, you're done. If your kid gets out running to first base, he's out. Send him back to the dugout. They said no to all that. So they're going to bat their nine guys. Each kid gets seven swings plus one off the tee. How many is that per half inning?
So that would be 72 swings per half inning.
They didn't hit one ball off the machine.
So 63 swings and misses, and then nine swings off the tee.
72 total. 72 swings in a half inning. I got 6-year-old and 70. They're standing out there like this, falling asleep. And I'm sitting there going, my kids are losing interest. This can't be fun for these dudes. No one's getting any action except off the tee. So by the third inning, which we only played three, I said to the coach, hey, why don't you just have them hit off the tee? Just hit off the tee. That's not boomer, Paulie. I'm trying to make kids fall in love with
this. This has kind of been boomer.
It's not, dude. It's not.
Well,
it's,
what are the rules of the league needs to have rules? Do they come off after three outs or not?
The league
everybody
says,
bat or not?
The league says you can work it out amongst yourselves before the deal.
There can't be a negotiation on the rules of the game before the start of every game. And you might need a boomer filter from me, but I'm going to die on that hill.
Bro,
you
so am I.
You cannot have to negotiate the rules of the game before every single game with every other team before you play.
And again, I just don't see what benefit it is to have your kids go up, swing and miss seven times, not get close to a pitch, and then hit off the tee. And then, so the ground ball to second, my guy picks it up, throws it to first, gets him out by 10 feet. Guess what? No, stay on first base. No, you're out. You're out. Why are we so afraid to have our children fail at a game that failure is ingrained in?
Those were the rules in T-ball, right?
We're not playing T-ball.
Yeah, but now you're on the next level. There should be a new set of rules that everybody abides by, that when you sign up for the league, hey, these are the rules. Let's play the rules.
Once your kid is out of T-ball, let's start teaching these little dudes baseball. Guess what happens in baseball? You get out. Guess what happens in baseball? You hit a seed at a guy. He catches it. And you're like, son of a bitch. And you're out. You don't get to run the bases after that. Guess what happens if you swing and miss three times? You strike out. It's such a part of baseball. All these dads don't want to see little Johnny go up there and look like a buffoon.
Now,
they're making it worse.
There will be some kids, as you said.
I've got them on my team.
That will, maybe all season, never make contact, never get on base.
I was one of them.
They won't want to play anymore, though.
Right.
And they don't want to lose kids at that age because they didn't have any enjoyment or fun because they never got to run the bases, they never got to make contact, and they
just quit. Get the tee. They get the tee.
So they do get the that's
they
part
get
of
the tee.
Okay.
But not after seven swings and misses. Then we bring the tee out, hits the tee, back to the ball back to the pitcher. Pitcher catches it, throws him out at first base. Just stay there, bud, and run. My kids are like excited because they got an out. My kids are excited because they got an out, and they're like, why is he still on first base? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea why. Because dad's afraid to see his kid walk back to the dugout. Why are we hiding? Why are we hiding from these kids the essence of the game?
I tend to probably agree with Ben a little bit. Like, you don't want to lose kids to the game.
But you know how you're losing kids? standing at playing defense like this. Oh my God. Oh my. Things are 30 minutes long.
I mean, look.
That's how you lose.
It's easy for me to be devil's advocate because I don't have kids. I don't have to sit there through that crap for 4 hours. But it does feel like whether it's T-ball or machine pitch, that's pre-baseball still. Until it's live pitching, whether it's from a coach or a kid, that's when it becomes, I think, more real.
But okay.
Because it is still T-ball in the sense that if you have seven swings, you bring out the tee. So it's still basically T-ball.
Correct.
Or machine pitch.
I'll agree. Seven is too many.
I kind of lump them in together. And then when you have kids pitching, now it's like, okay, now it's time to go.
I mean, you're losing, and like Marco says, you're losing kids that early on defense. I mean, my guys, I looked out, one kid was making dirt piles. I wasn't even mad at him. I couldn't get mad at him. Hey, pay attention, bro. I couldn't.
Five swings seems like a much better number.
How about, I got an idea for you. How about three swings? Since that's what you get in baseball. In the game
there's
of baseball.
There's a whole song about it.
Yeah, there's a whole song about it. One, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball.
Yeah, but in baseball, they don't have machine pitching or tees.
I think it's a philosophical reason. I don't want to win. I don't care about my team winning at this age. I couldn't care less. I'm not sending them for extra bags. I want these kids to fall in love with this game. I want there to be action in this game. And if the kids aren't hitting, I felt terrible for that other team. I felt horrible. But I also felt horrible for my guys that are standing out there pulling their putts because there's nothing to do. No action. Zero going, oh, my God, swing and a miss, 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 swing and a miss.
There's going to be games, especially if you're like an outfielder, where you may go innings with nothing to do. And that's part of the game as well.
My outfielders are going to go a season with nothing to do. And we're in this... It's just in that weird spot, but it's like basketball, Paulie. When we're playing basketball, we don't let nine kids go on the floor, on the court, right? They play 5-on-5. They call fouls. You miss shots. Oh, count that one because he hit the rim. Why is baseball the one where they're like, no, let's spoon feed it to them? Bro, if your kid strikes out, good. It's a part of this game, the best in the game. Aaron Judge struck out 170 times last year. Your kid can be Aaron Judge.
And there will be tears.
And there will
when
be.
It happens.
My son hits barrels at kids and gets out and is like, I go, hey, did you hit a barrel there? Yes. Then you did your job. You're good. Let's not spoon feed it to these kids. Again, if you're running hard down the line and they get you out, back to the dugout you go, buddy. They got you out. Why are we so afraid and shielding our children from failure? And it's driving me nuts. Again, please don't get this twisted. This is not I want to win. I want to beat the crap out of these teams. I couldn't care less. I want every kid on that team. I want every kid on the other team to also love the game as much as I do. And we are in it is a crisis for Little League right now. I mean a crisis. If I had run video of this, you guys would have seen my team in the first for 30 minutes. 30 minutes standing in a field in half inning. 30. And they're dying.
But, don't you think that's going to cause kids to not love the game if they can't hit the ball or have any fun at all?
So, well, what's fun about striking out seven times? So we have seven swing and misses.
Have more chances to get on base? I don't know. Does both soccer team call offsides? Because that's soccer.
No, they don't call offsides.
Well, why not? They need to learn the game.
No, it's different, though. But they also don't give them goals when they don't score goals.
I'm just pushing back. I don't care.
No, but I need you to understand that it's not a win-loss, make it perfect, ride these kids hard. I'm saying we got to find a solution to get some action on the field. How about an idea? Hit it off the tee. If you know damn well, hey, we're not hitting, our team cannot hit off the machine. We're going to hit off the tee if that's cool with you. Done. More action for everybody. Better, getting these kids. Hey, we actually have two kids that can mash off the machine. We'll use the machine for them. The other guys, we're going to let them hit it off the tee.
All right, so I think you just hit on it, and that's where I was going to go next, because I think you make some really strong points about a lot of kids being able to handle failure and needing to learn how to handle failure.
It's number one, man.
Earlier in their lives. But I will push back a little bit and say, ultimately, every kid is a little bit different.
Yep.
And while maybe, 70-80% of them probably would benefit from your course of action, there's probably 15% or 20% that need a softer touch and probably could thrive with a little more just nurturing and getting the ability to go run the bases.
You're talking about two different things.
You're
talking about two different things. I got three kids on my team that also didn't hit one off the machine yesterday. I got three out of 12 or whatever I had. Didn't hit it, And I nurtured those kids. I love those kids. I'll work with those kids. And I brought the tee out for them, and they hit the ball, and they ran. And one kid hit the ball hard, and they got him out. And I said, go back to the dugout. Guess why? Because you got out. You got out. You're out. We are so afraid for our kids to make it out on the baseball field. Why? If you really dig down, it's I want my kid to fail, especially if he's going to play baseball. You can't play this game and succeed 100% of the time. You can't play this game and succeed 40% of the time. Really? You succeed 40% of the time, you're Ted Williams. You know what I'm saying? We have to change the way it's going. There's got to be more action for these dudes, because sitting out there for 30 minutes with nary a ball hit anywhere in the infield just kills you. Especially, it's why we're losing kids to soccer, we're losing kids to flag football, and we're losing kids to basketball. And it's an epidemic, man. It really is, and it breaks my heart. I was so upset after this game last night. And it wasn't, we scored probably 20 runs, but I didn't care about that. I'm worried about the kids on the other team having a bad experience, and I'm worried about my kids having a bad experience and being bored out of their minds. I don't want baseball to be boring at all for them. I want them to love it. And this is the time where we have to show them how fun this game can be. Picking a ground ball, making a throw to first, for a six-year-old, there is no better feeling. Bo caught a fly ball. You should have seen him. He was beaming. That's what we need more of in the game. We just need more action.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't take anything away from Bo. If he catches that fly ball,
no.
He knows he got the guy out.
Right.
If the kid's still running around.
Standing on first base.
Doesn't really hurt Bo if that happens. He still gets the credit for making
just
a nice catch. And you know what he did.
It's just tough, dude. I just want them to love the game. And we need to stop spoon-feeding them that, hey, man. We need to let them. What I'm telling you is, we need to let them know, hey, man. You didn't come through there, and that's okay. I love you anyway. You tried really hard. Get up and try really hard again. You're going to have more opportunities to get up and try hard, and we're going to keep practicing. You did great. That's what I'm talking about. Just get some more action on the field. But I feel like it's an epidemic right now in Little League, and I think we need to find a way to change it somehow.
It is interesting. I haven't thought about it, and I'm 34, so I don't know, 27 years, but Little League was my third favorite sport up until it got competitive.
Right, right.
Soccer was more fun, and basketball was more fun.
Yeah.
Until it got competitive.
Yeah, because you got
kid pitching.
Because you got to do something.
Real base length,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stealing
the real
stuff.
Game.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
It's a good point. Kids love competition.
They do. They most absolutely
of them, most
do.
Of them and they understand the difference between real competition
and
fake competition.
My heart absolutely broke for the other kids. I hope they didn't have a bad experience. I didn't try to do anything to give them a bad experience. But man, I thought about we need to switch it. And I don't know if it's a coach flipping it underhand from 5 feet. Maybe that'll change. Or let them hit off the tee, man. Let them hit off the tee and then run the bags.
All right. Speaking of kids, did you know that 77% of parents with minor children don't have a will? Yeah, you've got little kids. You're probably a younger parent. You're not thinking about what would happen if something were to happen to you, but it could, and you don't want the state then deciding what happens to your kids. This is all very avoidable by putting together a simple document at trustandwill.com to make your wishes known, to assign guardians if something should happen to you, and then you don't have to think about it again, Woods. You just have that document in place. Hopefully you'll never need it, but you definitely do not want to need it and not have it.
It is quite a load off, man. It really is to know that I have it done. Make sure you have that trust as well. Keep your family out of probate court. Cost 3.3% to 7% of the estate's value, and legal fees can take 9 to 18 months to settle. Not something you want to put your family through after they've already lost you. So make sure you get the trust as well as the will, Benjamin.
Go to trustandwill.com. Use our new code FAN.
F-A-N.
You're going to get 20% off at checkout. That's, again, just FAN at checkout after you make a simple process of answering a few questions. And then you'll have your estate documents shipped out to you. You put them in a nice lockbox somewhere. Keep them at your house. Hopefully you never need them, but you will have them. You will have that peace of mind that your fam taken care of by going to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. We'll be back to set the menu for this morning's program right after a check of traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan. It's Ben Woods. We'll get into some Padres talk coming up here. You probably heard 1 minute after the show ended yesterday, Mike Shildt named his starting pitcher for opening day, Michael King. So we will react to that 20 hours later.
9:58 yesterday.
In our next segment. Fantastic. But, you know, that was his schedule yesterday. Good for Michael King, but we can talk about that decision. Yesterday's game against the Brewers, Padres got their bats out in a 14-8 win. And we'll give away some Padres tickets again for the Jackson Merrill bobblehead game against the Cleveland Guardians coming up on the first Monday of the season. So you'll have a chance to win those all in our next segment. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, today is the day the NCAA tournament does kick off.
Now, yeah,
most years we feel like it doesn't really start until Thursday.
Right.
Because the first four games, unless your team is in them, are just to really set the bracket. Your bracket picks don't count today tomorrow.
Kind of annoying when you pick, because I picked the Aztecs to go through for a round, and it just says SDSU, UNC. I'm like, hey.
amount of time it took for me to try to explain to my wife on Selection Sunday,
yes,
explaining the first four. She goes, so we're not in. I'm like, No, like, we are. She's like, but like the first round doesn't start until Thursday and Friday. I'm like, yeah, but we're still in.
I've been doing this all week at work.
It doesn't.
So are they in?
It counts.
They're in. So they're in the first. Now it's
they're in like round zero.
Like pre-round. Yeah, I had the same conversation. It's kind of like the zero round, and then if they win, they're in the first round. So they're not in. No,
they get tournament money.
They are in. It's an official tournament game.
It's on True TV, for God's sake.
But it's one that we tend to ignore until your team is in it, and then it feels very real.
It's so real. Somebody said yesterday on Twitter. They said, and so that would mean the Aztecs are a 16 seed.
No, they're an 11 seed.
11 seed.
But so is North Carolina. And they're playing for one. They've got one 11 seed. It's up for grabs, and whoever wins kind of takes the 11
seed. Now, the other first four games are either they're 16 seeds or 11
seeds. 16 versus 16 and 11 versus 11.
I don't understand. I never knew why that is.
So
why wouldn't they be 15 seeds or all 16 seeds?
Ben's playing. Quickly, Ben's playing. So when they expanded the tournament from a nice even 64 teams to 68. And they did that because, they had more conferences with automatic bids, but they didn't want to give these new little conferences with, you know, bottom of the tournament kind of teams more teams and then take away the at-large bids from, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC. So they just expanded by adding four. But at the end, they said, all right, so the play-in games, because we're going to need to play four extra games to get from 68 to 64, we'll have two of those games be for the bottom 16 seeds. So 16 versus 16, the last four automatic bids into the tournament. So the Mount St. Mary's and the schools, the tiny schools that won the little leagues that you've never heard of, two of them will play for a 16 seed in one in region, and two of them will play for a 16 seed in the other region. And then they said, and then the other four will be the last four at large teams. But they're better than the 12 through 16 seeds. So they'll probably be 11 seeds, and they will play for the last two spots in the tournament, and they will go into the bracket where they're supposed to go in, right around an 11 seed as the last at-large teams in the field. So that's why they do it this way. It's confusing to everybody. Doesn't really matter, again, unless your team is in it, and then it matters a lot because,
big time.
You may win your bracket. The weird thing is, if you are a San Diego State Aztecs homer, and you have them going all the way to the Final Four, winning the championship, and you filled out your bracket with SDSU all the way in, and they lose tonight, you can still win your bracket because you get North all the way through as well.
That's a good point. That's a really good point I didn't think about. You get two for one there.
You get two for one. So North Carolina goes on a huge run.
All right.
You would have the weirdest tournament win. You go, I got every single game wrong because I had North Carolina losing in the first four game, and they won the whole thing. But
okay.
Hey, I had the Aztecs, so I get credit for that somehow.
Okay, very I like weird. That. All right. So yeah, you really can't lose today.
No, if that, in your bracket,
if your bracket matters to you,
you cannot lose in your bracket tonight. That's why you don't even have to turn your brackets in until Thursday morning.
For the third time, would you give me game time again?
6:10.
Okay, I got to drill it into my head. I was hearing 3:20 in my head, 3:10 for some reason, 6:10 tonight.
6:10 Pacific, 9:10 Eastern time on True TV, San Diego State against North Carolina. We'll talk about it coming up at 7 o'clock. We got our usual features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods, and the Rondell Report, but we are now down. The voting is complete. And we're down to the Elite Eight of the Tournament of Drops, 6th Annual Ben & Woods Tournament of Drops. We will announce the winners coming up at 7:35 again this morning.
I will just tell you, we had 8 polls yesterday in the Sweet 16 round, and 4 of them were, just a couple of votes separation.
All right, so we have gotten some good competition now in the drops. We will give you the winners, and we will set the matchups for the Elite Eight. Tomorrow, we will be down to the Final Four in our Tournament of Drops. We'll have that for you coming up at 7:35 this morning. Sam Levitt will join us. It's a later day for the Padres today. They play tonight here on 97.3 The Fan against the San Francisco Giants. Stephen Kolak will be on the mound. You can listen to it right here. Sammy will get us caught up at 8:35. And then, I believe at 9 o'clock, can I announce it? Little Ben & Woods NCAA Aztecs Tournament tradition.
Love it.
The coach, Steve Fisher,
will be with
us at 9 o'clock to talk about the Aztecs and Dutch's team and another run in the NCAA tournament for the red and black.
We hope so.
He texted
me back very
here.
Late last night.
Okay.
And I texted him this morning about 10 minutes ago, so try not to wake him up too early, but he did say 9 o'clock sounds good.
That man
you just
up.
Don't want to wake Angie up. Yeah. It's okay. I don't think coach minds.
He was up at 11 o'clock last night. He texted me back. I woke up at 4 a.m. and looked at my phone.
Do you know the last time I saw 11 p.m.? 2012, I think, was literally the last time I saw 11 p.m. I was like, 11? 11.
A man is a marvel.
He is a marvel.
He brought college basketball love to the city of San Diego where it had not existed and turned things into, the madness that now sees 4 teams going to the NCAA Division I tournament from this town. And you don't think that a lot of that is because of what Steve Fisher did at
no
San
question.
Diego State?
The groundwork.
It absolutely is. So looking forward to hopefully that in our 9 o'clock hour as well. We'll take a timeout, though. When we come back, we will talk Padres. Michael King, your opening day starter. What are your expectations for Michael this season? That is coming up next with Ben & Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, gang, grab your phone right now. We were just talking about the tournament. Nothing like March basketball. Bring the fun of a bracket to every game by making entries on Underdog, one of the leading sports apps you can now play in your state. To play, you guys know how this works. Just choose higher or lower on player stats. They got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. Baseball, yeah, you can make a baseball. You can go in there and do it today with for tomorrow's game. Roki Sasaki, will he strike out more than 6.5? You can choose higher or lower, whatever you want to do. You can play with as little as $1. If you get everything right, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. They got cool little promos within the app as well. Oh, look, this is a 35% increase in my winnings if I click this button. Very, very fun. Very simple to use as well. So, download the Underdog app, sign up using the promo code WOODS to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits. When you make your first deposit, join in on the fun. When you sign up with promo code WOODS, claim your special offer today, get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 and over, 19 and over in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 and over in Colorado for some games, 21 over in Massachusetts and Arizona, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Void where prohibited. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
I will admit, I was a bit surprised yesterday. Show ended. We were walking over to our production studios, and I hear Paul yelling out, Mike Schilt just named his opening day starter, and I go, Dylan Cease, right? And he goes,
nope. That was actually me that said it.
Was it you?
Since you're the credit lover, I'd like some credit.
Fine.
For once.
Woodsy says it. Woodsy says it, and I go, Dylan Cease? He goes, nope. Michael King, the opening day starter for the San Diego Padres.
Michael the King, baby. Let's go. I love it.
Now, there was a bit of a qualifier, too. Why don't I let the manager kind of explain in his own words his decision making process as to choosing Michael King as the Padres' opening day starter.
Michael King will be our opening day starter. Yep. And, you know, the reason we got to this, first of all, let's back up. We had three really strong candidates for this. You know, Darvish, obviously, Michael, and Dylan. And when we got the rain the day, we decided to push Darvish back. I went to you and I said, you know, this can impact your opening day. And it speaks to the teammate that he is and the culture that we have about selflessness and team. And he said, don't worry about that. You know, if Michael
Sweet
or Dylan,
angel.
Let them, one of those two guys, be the opening day starter. I'm okay with it. So that really spoke well for about Darvish. So now we got a two-horse race. And then it literally fell into just the way the days have gone. You know, Michael was a little sick early in camp and got his schedule going in a certain way, and Dylan got his schedule going a certain way, and the schedules have worked out really well. But it lines Michael up, who's well-deserving of the open day starter. So he's happy. We're excited for him. And it just puts Dylan on a regular rest that we want to be mindful of. Talked to Dylan this morning about it. You know, listen, there's other opportunities. Both of them can compete for starting in the All-Star game and pitching in game one of the playoffs. So Dylan took it well, thought, you know, clearly put himself in position for it. But Michael is going to be our opening day starter.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting after Woods went on his rant about, you know, learning how to fail in the game of baseball.
Yep.
Mike Schilt, the manager of the Padres, essentially said, no one failed in this competition. It simply was logistics that landed on Michael King over two other very worthy candidates. He didn't necessarily separate himself from Dylan Cease or Yu Darvish. In fact, if you read between the lines or even just listen to directly what Mike Schilt had to say, Yu Darvish was the opening day starter for the San Diego Padres. That was the plan. And then when his schedule got messed up due to the rain and then he got shut down due to fatigue, they went to the backup plan, and it, you know, ended up just working out better between Michael King and Dylan Cease that his day would fall on opening day against the Braves next week. Nothing against Michael King, as Mike Schilt said. He absolutely deserves it, but so does Dylan Cease and so does Yu Darvish. There's no wrong answers. There's no right answers. But congratulations to Michael King, who will get a nice feather in his cap of an opening day start at Petco Park next week.
But, you know, I don't even think we mentioned it yesterday, but Yu is kind of down right now with a little fatigue. Now, I don't know if that's arm fatigue. I don't know if that's body fatigue. Pitched really well his last time out. So, could be one of those things where it's like, hey, man, take an extra couple of days. He's not the youngest pitchers that we have. I'd rather him be fresh for his first start, which should come the first week of the season. I didn't really glean that there was anything wrong with him, just a little bit run down. I know a lot of guys, like he just mentioned, you know, King had the flu, Cease had the flu. All these guys have had the flu bug run through there. Everyone's a little bit worn out, probably a little tired of spring training is my guess. I spoke to somebody in the Padres organization yesterday. I will not name names, but they are also a little tired of spring training and are ready to get the real action going. Yesterday's game was a bit of a slog. I don't know if you guys watched that game yesterday.
Over 3 hours.
Yeah, it was much like a half inning of my Little League game last night. So it was a bit of a slog.
So Michael King, you know, don't forget, had an outstanding season last year. Paulie has the stats on our screen on YouTube. 13-9 with a 2.95 ERA. That includes a kind of a up and down month of April where he was only so-so. I think his ERA was over 5 the first month. And then after May kicked in, Michael King was arguably the best pitcher in the National League. Ended up 7th in the Cy Young voting. If he can pick up where he left off, you know, skip the ragged April, absolutely. I think the sky is the limit for Michael King. He is a legitimate Cy Young contender. He will get the opening day start. So, you know, if he stays healthy, he'll have the bulk to do it. He's had a pretty good spring as well. So Michael King is very much set up for potentially a really breakout 2025.
Sure.
I mean, he had a breakout 2024,
yeah.
But in terms of like beyond San Diego nationally, he has the playoff success. He pitched well in the postseason at Petco Park, and now he'll get a chance to do it on opening day and beyond for the Padres this year. And If he does well, he's going to make a lot of money.
Yes.
A lot of money next offseason, whether it be from the Padres or somebody else, because he is set up for future riches.
Yeah, he is, man. He absolutely is, and he's very deserving of it, and I think we can put to bed now, and I think Michael King is happy to put to bed the, I'm a hybrid. I'm going to come out of the bullpen. No, Michael King is a starter in this league. He's earned it. He's proven he can do it, and he's going to get paid like it, and he deserves to get paid like it. So I think that was the stepping stone, or that was the one burr in the heel of his arbitration. We're like, we kind of look like, you're still kind of in that first year, Ben, of being a hybrid. But no, that's not. He's a starter.
Here's what the man himself, Michael King, had to say after the announcement by Mike Schilt.
You had the chance to experience Petco Park during the regular season, during the postseason last year. What's your level of anticipation to not just pitch on opening day, but pitch on opening day in that ballpark?
Yeah, I was shook by how loud it was when I was warming up during the announcements for playoffs. Luckily, I was able to do it twice because it was the first game of the wild card, and then it was the first home game against the Dodgers and the DS. And I can't wait to feel that again. I think that there's nothing like running out from the dugout when they're cheering your name, but it's different when you're out there in the bullpen and hearing it from almost from their perspective, being out in the crowd. It's a blast, and I'll just try to make sure I can keep the adrenaline to a minimum while I'm out there.
I really want him in a Padres uniform long term. I try not to get too attached.
I know
he's pro ball. He is definitely one of my favorites, though.
No question, man.
He's a good guy. He seems to fit in really well here. I'd like him to be part of this community for a long time. That's the one I would love to see get done at some point. So congratulations to Michael King, your opening day starter for the Padres. I'm assuming Dylan Cease probably will go in day two.
Yep.
But, Mike Schilt likes to parse out those information nuggets to the media a little bit slower than that.
Yeah, so. Which is fine. Who cares?
All right, let's check traffic. As you mentioned, yesterday's game was a bit of a slog, but we did have a little more developments in the competition for the final roster spots.
You got that crow that we can all sit here and eat. I'm happy to eat it. I told you.
Was someone with the initials YG listening to our show yesterday?
We'll talk
about that next here on 97.3 The Fan. Before we get to the competition for the final roster spots, Jake Cronenworth's having a real good spring.
He is.
He had another 2-for-2 performance yesterday. He's hitting the ball hard. His average is up to .310, and that's with an inordinate amount of bad luck in terms of like hard outs that he has made. Jake is really, really looking good this spring. Will he carry it over into the season? Jake's been prone to stretches, long slumps during the season, and he comes out and he plays well for a while and ends up, with his numbers at the end of the year. Can he minimize those longer slumps and stay locked in longer? Because if he can, Jake Cronenworth could be poised for another All-Star season for the Padres, and that would be absolutely huge. Just want to throw that out there. But I thought the big headline yesterday in the game against the Brewers were the last, spots on that roster. And the guy, it says on my rundown here, Paulie, anything someone told Yuli Gurriel all the mean things you were saying about him yesterday. What? I did not say any mean things. I don't think Woods did either. We were saying facts.
The fact that
he is 40 years
he's
old.
40.
The fact that his numbers the last 3 years were abysmally bad.
Yeah.
None of these are mean. They're just
kind of mean.
No. They're just facts. They're just absolute black and white information.
The audacity that they would even include this man on that roster had you guys freaking out,
but
I'll raise my hand. I probably was a little mean. I don't see it. I didn't see it. And of course, yesterday. I mean, look, it's a Ben Woods curse. It's a real thing at times, and it was kind of the reverse curse with Yuli Gurriel yesterday, who went out and had a monster game, hit a bomb, drove in 4 runs, got his average up to .296 with an .840 OPS, and like I said yesterday, I'm very happy to be wrong about Yuli Gurriel. Very happy. And Jason Hayward, for that matter, who also had
he was 0-for-1 with 2 walks.
Yeah, 2 walks.
And two runs scored, which getting on base is a good thing. I mean, you know, for that competition for the last spots, Connor Joe did finally go 0 for 2, although he made a nice diving catch in foul territory in deep left field. And let's not forget about Oscar Gonzalez.
My God.
Who hit the hardest ball of the spring, I believe, at 115 miles an hour on a double down the left field line. So all of those guys are still in competition. You know, we assume Jason Hayward looks like he's going to make the team. The word was that Yuli Gurriel has impressed and, you know, has, seems to have an inside track, maybe, according to Kevin Acey, to make the team as well. I'm not 100% sure about that, but 2 for 3, home run and 4 RBI, not going to hurt his chances at all yesterday. So there were some developments in that competition for the last spot. Maybe no more clarity on who it, you know, should go to, who deserves it, but guys are fighting for it, and they're fighting, looks like, all the way to the finish line, which is now less than a week away for the end of spring training.
The Oscar Gonzalez story remains really interesting. I saw this yesterday from our buddy Clark Fahrenholt, and he said, look, I'm not sure if he makes the opening day roster. However, he does have two minor league options remaining. That said, our pals from Mad Friars write in immediately. Note that while he does have options, he also has an opt-out in his contract if he doesn't make the big league roster.
Which I think the way he's played would make him very intriguing to another team.
Correct.
So you might lose him
if you don't put him
on the team.
No question. No question. So if he does, if he's not on the squad, he can opt out and, you know, some other team says, oh yeah, we love the 60%, 70% barrel rate, and love that you're hitting the ball extremely hard. We love that all you do is hit doubles right now. We need some power from the right-hand side. You seem to be that guy. We'll take you. And that would be a bummer to lose somebody with that much ability.
One other note from yesterday's game. I saw that they honored Trevor Hoffman by inducting him into the Cactus League Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
Which I'll admit is something I did not know existed until yesterday.
Like, who else is in the Cactus League Hall of Fame?
Like, no idea.
The worst Hall of Fame in his Hall of Fame credentials.
They were
right?
Very clever. They did it for the Padres Brewers game. The two teams that, you know, at least the Cactus League teams that he played for during his major league career. So he did spend a lot of his time in the Cactus League, and it was nice. They had Wyatt got into the game as well. His son,
yep,
still in the Padres organization, played and was there and part of the ceremonies for Trevor. I don't know exactly where. I mean, if I know Blue Meanie's in Peoria right now. I couldn't even tell you where the Cactus League Hall of Fame is. Is it an actual building? Is it just kind of an online Hall of Fame?
An online Hall of Fame.
I mean,
if you go
to Salt River Fields or one of the other ballparks, is there like a room where you go in and you see like the busts of all the greats of the Cactus League? Or is there any player that didn't do well in his major league career that is in the Cactus League?
I need to know more info on this. I'm going to look it up while you guys.
This guy was so great in the spring. Never did anything in his actual big league career, but you should have seen him during the Cactus League. The guy just tore it up.
So the Arizona Spring Training Experience and Cactus League Hall of Fame. It seems to be... No. You keep talking. I'll find it. You can buy a book. Exhibits. Hall of Fame.
Okay. It does exist. There's exhibits.
2025 inductees. Trevor Hoffman. Pat Hughes is a broadcaster for the Brewers.
Cubs and Brewers.
Yep. Yeah. Mike Murphy. Worked for the Giants. Ron Pies.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of this.
I think it's in the Mesa Historical Museum.
Trevor inducted along with the Ho-Ho Cam groundskeeper yesterday into the Cactus League Hall of Fame. Not going to be his most prestigious honor of his career, but I'm
sure he was very happy.
He'll take it. He was there. And that wraps up our discussion of the Padres. We'll get into the Aztecs and their game today next here on The Fan.